And we're just going to spend a little bit of time now in our Bibles. I'm going to be speaking this morning to you from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel. And it'll be John's Gospel. We'll start in chapter 2, John's Gospel, chapter 2, for our commencement of our meditations this morning. And many of you will remember this morning's we're going to have just a little bit of an overview, I guess. Many of you will remember the story in John chapter 2 about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ turned water into wine. And that's an amazing thing. He filled had them fill the water pots with water, and when they poured it out, it was wine there instead. And I've often thought, well, that's not so amazing, because our God changes the water into wine all the time. But usually he does it by putting it through a grapevine and then through a bit of a settling and a fermentation process and so on. But he knows how to do it. It's just that on this particular occasion, he did it very, very quickly. And so this morning, what I would like to do is take that little thought and follow a theme through the book of John. The gospel writers, as you know, often have many themes in their epistles, but we're going to follow just one theme this morning through. I will read the verse, we'll have a word of prayer together, and then we will get on to our studies together. John chapter 2, actually we'll read more than one verse. Verse 6 says, and there were six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And then the last comment that we have this morning is verse 5. Jesus' mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to our hearts as we would consider these verses and the logic flow from them. And Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to understand the truth of your word, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John says in this particular story, and nobody else tells us this story, by the way, Matthew, Mark, or Luke don't, but they tell us this story. John tells us the story of this day in Cana when they ran out of wine and the Lord miraculously turned their water into wine. And there is a symbolic meaning associated with this, of course, and that is that very, very often people in life say, you know, my life is very bland. I like to drink water, but to be perfectly frank, I also like to drink other things as well. And water is very good and very refreshing, but some people would prefer coffee, and some people prefer a juice, and a lot of people drink tea, and there's a multitude of other things that you can put into water that people like, and often they say, well, you know, water is a little bit bland. Well, wine has a lot of water in it, but it's symbolic of supernatural joy. And it's a fitting symbol of supernatural joy. But that's the way it's used in the Bible. So water is good, but wine is, it's just better. And there were seven water pots. Some of the preachers have taken the thought of seven water pots And they've said, you know, it's interesting, in the book of John, there are stories about seven different people who had their lives transformed. And their lives went from water to wine. The joy in their life all of a sudden blossomed. They were alive, but they became super alive. Their lives were changed, and in their lives, the water became wine. And so often the preachers have looked at that, and I must confess that I had never thought of preaching on this until this week, but became intrigued by the fact that the Lord gives us the story of the seven water pots wherein this great transformation took place. And then the outcome is delightfully dramatic. And so this morning, a quick study of the book of John to look at those seven people, like those seven water pots, who had their lives changed because they followed the counsel of Mary, the mother of the Lord. What was her counsel? Whatever he says to you, do it. Is that good counsel? Yes, it is. You've all had good counsel from your mother. And this is the mother of the Lord Jesus. She knew him pretty well. She'd been with him for over 30 years. She had learned from experience. Whatever he says to you, do it. And so she says to the people, whatever he says to you, do it. He said, well, fill the water pots with water and pour out. And she did it. I've often wondered about this story, how it took place. I kind of think that the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting in the back corner at this wedding. I think that he probably was sitting at a table with his back to the podium so that the other people at the table would have a better view of what was going on at the front. And he was there just as an insignificant member of the audience. But he turned the water into wine. And very often in our lives, we don't see the active hand of God. We just see the results of the hand of God in our lives. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who has done it. Can I do it, seven, in a few minutes? I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but we're going to get started. You know the story in John chapter 3. His name was Nicodemus. He's the ruler who once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? John chapter 3 and verse 7. Marvel not, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Whatever he says to you, do it. What did he say? He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus had a hard time with this, of course, because you see, Nicodemus was probably among the most senior religious leaders in the world. He was extremely knowledgeable in the things of God. He knew the Old Testament very, very well and probably could quote much of it without making any errors. He was a leader, a teacher of the religious community, the Jews. He was very, very senior, and everybody came to him with their questions, and he gave them the answer. He was the ultimate authority around. He comes to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He found that hard to understand. But in fact, what he did was he listened to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say, and then he was born again. What is the line? verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, there is a whole new, I was going to say the word world. There's a whole new realm out there. We live in the fleshy realm, in the earthy realm, but there is a spiritual realm. Most people ignore the spiritual realm. Well, their conscience tells them that there's a spiritual realm. Periodically, when they look around, they say there must be something more. They look out into the sky. They look at creation as a whole. They acknowledge that somewhere there was a creator. They often try to pretend that there isn't. They work hard to believe that there isn't, but they know that there is. And Nicodemus is told, that which is born of the flesh is only flesh, Nicodemus. But if you're born again, then you have that new life that is the life of the Spirit. And in my notes, as I was trying to put this together, I thought, you know, Nicodemus goes from this realm, which is religious ritual, often repetitive, often almost meaningless religious ritual. Most people in the world today who are a spiritual, they say, or who are a religious, it's religious ritual, isn't it? And in his case, Nicodemus was told, Nicodemus, you can go from the religious ritual to the reality of eternal life, new life that goes on forever. What did Nicodemus do? Well, the answer is Nicodemus believed in what the Lord Jesus had said. He said, I must be born again. And he did what the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do by believing the message. And he was born again and he became a new person. Remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who buried him. What a transformation. He became one of the boldest disciples. At that day, Peter ran away, John ran away, James ran away, the other disciples ran away. Joseph and Nicodemus went to Pilate, said, we want the body. He ended up with new life. His water was turned to wine. He ended up leaving the realm of just the fleshly, and he entered the spiritual realm, and he knew the blessing of God on a new level. Chapter 4 is the story of the Samaritan woman who meets the Lord Jesus Christ at a well, and they have this amazing conversation. And she becomes quite intrigued with him. He's saying a number of things. He says that if she would come to him and ask, he would give her living water. She hears about the living water. She says, you know, I'm not quite sure what it's like. It's going to be like wine, but she didn't know that at this point. All she knew was that the life, the water that he would give her would be a well of water springing up into everlasting life within her. And finally she says, all right, give me this water. Verse 21. That's not the verse I want. Verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, all right, go call thy husband and come hither. Oh, she said, what did you have to bring that up for? Imagine this marvelous conversation. She says, all right, I want this living water. He says, good, you go call your husband. Oh, she says, well, I don't really have a husband. The Lord says, that's true. You had 5 husbands, and the one you got now isn't your husband. Oh, she says, how would he know that? It's amazing, isn't it? As you read through your Bible, have you not found that as you read the Bible, it isn't so much you reading the Bible, but the Bible reading you? Yeah. And it begins to point out what's going on inside you. And you say, this is all well and good, but the more I read this book, you know, the more uncomfortable I become. The more I read this book, the more it gets right down to the inner difficulties, the problems, and it puts its finger right on. What's going on? Well, it's the Spirit of God who's putting his finger on what it is that you have done. It is true. The Lord Jesus Christ knows your past. He knows all the problems. He knows all the heartache. He knows all the sorrow. He knows all the wrestlings and all the anguish. He knows. How could you possibly have confidence in someone who promises you a future? Answer, you'd have a whole lot of confidence if he can tell you what your past is. If he knows all about the past, then he can know all about the future. I think I told you the story once before about Jade Nicholson, who was once, I think, at a mall, and I'm not sure the precise details, but the story went something like this. He was at the mall, and there was a woman sitting over at a table there, and as Jade approached them, she said to him, $10, sir, and I'll tell you what your future is. And Jade says, he says, there's not really much point in that. I already know my future. But he says, I tell you, I'll give you $20 if you can tell me what I did yesterday. No, she says, you got the wrong guy. Okay? How would you know to have confidence in the God of tomorrow? Because he can tell you all about your yesterday. He can tell you all about your joys of yesterday. He can tell you all about the heartaches of yesterday. But when he promises you a good tomorrow, you know it's true. Because he knows you. He knows your yesterday. Chapter 4, keep reading. Verse 28. After the conversation was over, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. What did he tell her to do? He said, go call your husband. What did she do? I think she went and called all her husbands, frankly. There were five of them there, and the one she was with, that would be six. And so she went and called all the men of the city, and they came. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, go call your husband. What happens when you do what the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to do? Turns your water into wine. And I'm not sure when this all dawned upon this dear lady. I'm not sure how she understood it all developing. But I do know this, that she took the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. And she said, I want my water to be turned into wine. I want that living water. Jesus said, go call your husband. And she did, and the blessing was not only for her, but it was for so many of that Samaritan community. Remember, you'll remember way back in the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria. There was revival. How'd that revival get started? I think it started by the woman who went back there and told all the men that there was a man there who could tell them all the things that she ever did. And therefore, he could be the God of the future. And they listened. And one after another, they got converted. And one after another, their hearts were softened. And when Philip went to that community, what, 5 years later, 7 years later? We don't know. All we know is that when he went back, the whole community got saved. Marvelous revival. What did Mary say? Whatever he says to you, do it. John chapter 4. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And you may remember that, well, I guess I better tell the story as we go. Here's this man, his son is dying. What would you do if your son were dying? Answer, you'd do anything. And he hears about Jesus and he knows about Jesus. And he says, I'm going to go to Jesus. He found him. And he speaks to him. I guess we read the verse, didn't he? The middle of verse 47. When Jesus was come into Judea, unto Galilee, he went unto him, and the man besought him that he would come down and heal his son. So he goes and he finds his son, and he says, I want you to come and heal my son. The Lord Jesus said unto him, verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. That's a problem, isn't it, in the world today? Most people say, if I see, and if I see, and if I see, then I'll believe. Jesus says, if you believe, then you'll see, and you'll see, and you'll see. Which comes first? And the Lord Jesus Christ will give you and me sufficient evidence for us to know that he really is true, to know that we should believe, and then he leaves us. And he says, all right, now, if you want that water turned to wine, you've got to go fill that water pot. You're going to have to pour it out. I'm sure that when those servants went to fill the water pot and pour it out, some of them thought, this has got to be the daftest thing we have ever done in our lives. But they did it. And when it was over, they said, wow. And so here's this man, and he says to the Lord Jesus, now you come and heal my son. And Jesus says, here's the issue, mister. You want to see, and then you'll believe. And what did the man say? He simply says, the end of verse 49, sir, come down ere my child die. I'm not sure how much his belief was. He believed enough to say, if this man here in Cana of Galilee, same place, if he could turn water into wine, he could heal my son. Please come to my son. And then the Lord Jesus said unto him, verse 50, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Would you have done that? I think if I were a rich nobleman, I probably would have said to him, listen, I'll pay you double. You come. I've got enough money. We can make this thing work. You come. Jesus said, no. You go. Your son will live. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And the man went away. It's very interesting. Verse 51 says, and as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. I tried to figure out the timing of all that. Here we are. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when the son is here and he's living, he turns around and he's cured, begins to amend, and over here is the Lord Jesus Christ and the man. And so the Lord says, now you go back, your son's living. And so he starts going back, and the servants, when he is amended, when he begins to heal, they start coming. And they meet sometime the next day. We don't know precisely when the next day. How far is it between here and here? A long walk. There was a night in between. Was that father sincere? Was he zealous? Yes. Did he want to know? Yes. And the Lord said to him, listen, you are sincere and you are zealous, and this is what I'm going to say that you must do. You go. Your son will live. And he believed. Whatever he says to you, do it. Did that man believe? Yep. What came first in his life? The sign or the belief? He knew of the sign. He knew the story of the water being turned to wine. It happened in Cana of Galilee. He knew all that. But as far as his son was concerned, he had to believe. And he said, I will believe. And then he got the good news. Your son's alive. Chapter 5. It's the story of the impotent man, isn't it? And he's at the pool of Bethesda. And he's been lying there for 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, do you want to be made whole? Whatever he says to you, do it. The man said, by the time I get into the water, the Lord Jesus says to him the next line. Verse 8, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man got up. He could have laid there and said, listen, I've been trying to walk for 58 years, you know. I can't do that. Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. What did he do? He rose, he took up his bed, and he walked. Why? Because he was bold enough to say, if Jesus said it, I am going to do it. What about you? What about me? When Jesus says it, do we do it? Chapter 8, I think, is the fifth water pot. You remember the story of chapter 8. The woman is the adulterous woman taken in adultery. No question as to whether she's innocent or guilty. The Lord says to the accusers, he who is without sin among you, you cast the first stone at her. And all convicted by their conscience turn and go away. And so you remember verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What an amazing story. Was her water turned to wine? How wonderful it is to be guilty and forgiven. How wonderful it is to know that judgment is past and no one condemns you, even the Lord Jesus Christ, against whom you've sinned. Is that turning water into wine? That's turning water into wine. How did it happen? Well, in her case, the requirement was very simple. Go and sin no more. She didn't have the power to do that before. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life, he gives you water. He turns the water into wine, and he gives you power. And she went, a transformed woman. Who knows all about her past? All we know is it was bad. What do we know about the promise of the Lord Jesus? You can go and sin no more. How do I know you can go and sin no more? Because I don't condemn you and they don't condemn you. And because of that, Jesus Christ will give you the power to go and sin no more. It's John chapter 9. I think he is the sixth water pot. He's a man who was born blind. What happens when you do what Jesus tells you to do? Oh, just one marvelous thing after another, after another, after another. Jesus can fill your water pot so that it's wine instead of water. Born blind. You remember the story. The Lord Jesus makes some clay out of spittle and rubs it on his eyes, if he had eyes. I sort of think he didn't even have eyes. I think he just had sockets there, but we don't know. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the eyes, put clay on his eyes. Verse 8. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Many years ago, I was in the city of Jerusalem, and our tour guide said, All right, this afternoon we're going to go to the pool of Siloam. Well, I must confess, I was kind of excited. I thought that'd be pretty great. Pool of Siloam is a long way from the center of town. It's down a long hill, and it's way down in a deep hollow. And frankly, to get to the Pool of Siloam from the center of Jerusalem is not easy. And I think if I'd been the man who was blind, I would say, well, couldn't I go to a water? There's a water fountain just over there. It's a long way down. And all these steps when you get to the Pool of Siloam, the blind man might have said, you know, the chances are I'm going to fall over the side and it's going to be a nuisance and I got to get everybody else to get out of my way. Tap, 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 tap. And the Lord says, now you go to the Pool of Siloam and wash. What's the pool of Siloam? What's Siloam mean? It means sent. What happens when you do what the Lord Jesus told you to do? What happens if you're sent by the Lord Jesus and you go? Answer, you'll get sight. It's interesting. I went down the list of all these things, looking at them, and every one of them is an action of belief. It's either come, 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 or go, go, go. But every one, there is an action of belief. What is it that ultimately causes the water to become wine? It's to take belief and do something. And I'll just read the list. The first one is Nicodemus, come to the light. We didn't read that, verse 21. The woman, go call your husband. The nobleman, go your way, your son lives. The impotent man, rise up and walk. The adulterous woman, go and sin no more. The blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. What's the matter with people in the world today? They hear and they don't do. Some even say, you know, I believe. You do? What do you do because you believe? And that which turns water into wine is belief that is followed by the action of obedience. Come, go, rise, do. What happens when that happens? Well, your life is full of that spiritual life. It's full of the joy of new wine. Well, you remember the last one? It's John chapter 11. John chapter 11. There's a man who's died. His name is Lazarus. And he's dead. He's been in the grave for 4 days now. And it's all pretty gruesome. Verse 43. And when the Lord Jesus Christ had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I imagine Lazarus said, I can't, I'm dead. And Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. I think Lazarus might have said, well, actually, I don't look very good, you know. I'm dressed in these awkward grave clothes, And I haven't had a bath for a while, and I don't really know. And the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. What's he get? He gets life, new life. What was Lazarus' new life like compared to his old life? Well, probably a whole lot more dramatic. And everywhere he went, people were saying to him, are you the guy who used to be dead? Lazarus said, yeah, that's me. Could you tell us a story, please? He probably made every talk show program in the community, didn't he? You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be boring, isn't it? Don't ever let anybody tell you that lie. New life in Christ is absolutely marvelous. Some of you are theologians, and you wonder about a footnote that you have in John chapter 8. And at the beginning of John chapter 8, the story of the adulterous woman is there. And some people say, well, now that's not really in the best manuscripts. And some people say it is. And so many years ago, I went to Dr. David Gooding, who knows more about Greek than most of us will ever contemplate. And I said, David, could you please tell me, is that in the original or not? And David said this. He said, you know, from a literary point of view, it's debatable. He says, from the logic flow of the book of John, it's there. And she's one of those seven water pots. And her story fits in the logic flow of the book of John in a marvelous way. Don't be deceived, it's there. It's part of this wonderful message. Here's the question. What he says to you, do you do it? What he has said to you, have you done it? You must be born again. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Go and sin no more. They're all there. Have you done it? Harold, have you done it? And we've all got to say, Lord, by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Why? Because he wants to turn the water into wine. Lord, we want to thank you for the story of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who should ever care whether there's joy and peace and happiness and blessing in my life? But Jesus cares. Who would care about the heartaches and the sorrow in the lives of those two women? Empty, shamed, tragic. And Jesus saves them, fills them with blessing and joy and power. Lord, it's true we don't deserve your blessings, but the message is so simple. Whatever he says, do it. And to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And each of us would say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want to be born again, and I want to live a life that is full of the blessings of God. Lord, would you fill my life, please, with the wonderful wine of heaven and the joy of living as you intended it to be lived, and the blessing of eternal life forever, which Nicodemus entered into when he came to the light that night. Lord, may we not just be hearers. May we not be just those who say, I believe. Lord, may we believe and do come, go, do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.